Welcome to Spotlight Radio. Spotlight is the place to meet the most interesting people, executives, professionals, and today's most notable experts share their wealth of knowledge and vast experience with us live. Listen and learn in depth directly from today's leaders and tomorrow's highest climbers. Spotlight Radio shines on the people that you want to hear every day, on demand and in real time on SpotlightRadio.com. The world's most fascinating people are right here on Spotlight Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spotlight Radio. I'm your host, Marcus Edwards. It's my pleasure to introduce my guest for today's program. He's a sports reporter for the Phoenixville newspaper. Everyone, it's my pleasure to introduce Barry Sankey. Barry, thank you for joining me today.
Good morning. As always, glad to be here with you talking sports.
Absolutely, and we have a tremendous show for our listeners. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs and, of course, that wonderful NFL draft that just happened this past weekend. But before we jump into that, let's get our local roundup here, Barry. I know you had a few different events you had the opportunity to attend to, some double boys and girls tennis. Let's talk a little bit about the local level. How was this past week when it comes to local sports?
Okay, it was another busy week on the local scene. Last Monday, I covered a softball game, Phoenixville at home against Perkiomen Valley. Perkiomen Valley won that one 10-0 behind freshman pitcher Alex Haynes, who threw a two-hitter at the Phantoms. Perkiomen Valley has actually excellent pitching depth. They have three freshmen. Rachel Helverson and Emily Oltman have pitched most of their games, but this time Coach Dan McLaughlin, who used to coach at Phoenixville and still teaches there and is now at neighboring Perkiomen Valley, brought up Alex Haynes from the junior varsity team, and she responded with a strong effort. Tuesday, I did college signings for girls' soccer. It was Phoenixville's Bailey Stover and Sarah Gilbert. Bailey Stover, a midfielder, will be attending Alvernia University in Reading to continue her career as a midfielder, and Sarah Gilbert will be a defender at Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre. She was a goalie for the last 2 years at Phoenixville because they needed one, but her specialty is a right defensive back. And Bailey Stover was active all year as a three-sport standout at Phoenixville in soccer, girls basketball, and girls lacrosse, but she has decided to focus on soccer at the collegiate level and possibly play lacrosse there too in the spring, because at Division III you can play two sports.
Wonderful.
Okay, on Wednesday I did a baseball game, Methacton over Phoenixville, 9-4 at Ursinus College. It was the second time this year that Methacton has beaten Phoenixville, which could come into play because there are six teams fighting for spots in the final four playoffs, and if it comes down to a tiebreaker between Methacton and Phoenixville for positioning, Methacton will have the edge based on the two regular season victories. That evening, I did a boys lacrosse game. It was senior night for Phoenixville, and the Phantoms came up with a 6-1 victory over Pottsgrove at Washington Field. Big night for goalkeeper Nick Lawley, one of five Phoenixville seniors. He had 17 saves on the night. He came up very big in the fourth period, especially with 11 of those saves. Friday, I did another baseball game, Phoenixville over Owen J. Roberts, also at Ursinus College. Mm-hmm. That was by a 10-4 score. A right-hander, David Pallman, pitched his first starting assignment of the year for the Phantoms and responded with a complete game six-hitter. His two previous times that he was supposed to start were rained out. He has seen a lot of action in relief, but this time he got the start and was able to go the distance. So that was big because Phoenixville has four games this week, and pitching is at a premium at all levels. You always have like to have enough pitching as possible available.
Yes.
And Pallman showed that he can fit right into the rotation. Friday and Saturday was the Pioneer Athletic Conference doubles tournament at Perkiomen Valley High School. I did not go Friday. That it's a complete day. They start with two teams from each of the 10 schools, 20, and whittle it down to the final four. They take it down to the semifinals, four teams, and then two others for consolations. But I did go Saturday, and it wound up being seniors Jeff Potts and Ryan Cadigan of Phoenixville beat their Phoenixville teammates, senior Chris Walsh and sophomore Luke Lombardi, by a 6-4, 6-0 score in the finals. Kind of an interesting sidelight there with two Phoenixville teams advancing to the finals. Another feather in the hat of 50-year veteran coach Leo Skoda, and he was proud of all four boys for reaching the finals. And then Potts and Cadigan, who were the first doubles team for Phoenixville during the regular season, prevailing over Walsh and Lombardi, who played singles all year. Going into this week, tonight I'm scheduled to do girls lacrosse senior night, Pottstown at Phoenixville. They're fighting for the 1 and 2 positions in the Frontier Division. Tuesday I have another college signing for baseball. Catcher Chris Demme of Phoenixville will be attending Chestnut Hill College. Wednesday, baseball, Pope John Paul at Phoenixville Sinus College. Friday, softball, another senior day, Pope John Paul at Phoenixville. That's a 5 o'clock start, sort of in between afternoon and evening. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, another college feature, as Kutztown University will be playing at Westchester University. And Kutztown features two former local players in Thomas Romano from Phoenixville and Ricky Gorell from Springford.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So what? That's a very big week you've had as far as your work is concerned when it comes to covering Phoenixville sports.
Yes, it's almost like that throughout the spring, especially where there's so many sports going on, spring and fall. It's almost something every day.
Yes.
And then with this college stuff, even on a day where it might be a little lighter, you fit those in as to fill out the week. It's better to do them on a lighter day anyway.
I agree.
Yes. So, and then moving into the NBA playoffs, San Antonio Spurs swept the Los Angeles Lakers 4-0. San Antonio won the Sunday game 103-82. Of course, the Lakers did not have star guard Kobe Bryant.
No.
His Achilles, and Steve Nash was out. Dwight Howard was ejected in the third quarter for the Lakers with two technical fouls. But still, it was more about the Spurs and how they dominated. They could conceivably reach the finals. They've always had a great run under Coach Greg Popovich.
Yes.
With the group there, Tim Duncan, Hall of Fame big man, and then Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. They're the three core, and they have some other nice players, so we'll see how they do. Parker had 23 points and 4 assists in the latest victory, so we'll see how far the Spurs go. They'll face Golden State or Denver in the next round.
I have to say, you know, when we talk about that Lakers versus Spurs there, and I paid close attention to that series, Barry, it seems to me that throughout the time that Kobe Bryant and the Lakers have been there, they've always had a difficulty with the Spurs. Tim Duncan, particularly, has always been extremely consistent. I believe it's 3 rings now he's got, if I'm not mistaken, or 2, but perhaps 3. The Spurs really have the Lakers' number, especially when they're don't have Kobe Bryant on the court and the rest of their key players.
You'd be right there. Well, he presents matchup problems for a lot of teams because of his ability inside and outside, mm-hmm. scoring, rebounding, defense, around the rim. And a lot of sports are about matchups, basketball in particular. You may have good players, but if my players are even better, especially at certain positions, you're going to use your strength against what may be considered my weaker point and try to establish that strength to your advantage. And like I say, even if you double-team a guy like Duncan, all right, then that's going to open the path for somebody like Ginobili to slash
yes.
to the basket or Tony Parker. And that's the nature of basketball.
Absolutely.
It's still a team game with five guys, and then when you have as many outstanding individuals as some of these top teams had, it really creates matchup problems for all opponents.
You're absolutely right about that. Let's talk, if we can, just a little bit about Kobe Bryant, with about 16 years, I believe, now in the NBA or more. His total legacy, in your opinion, is this the last time we'll see Kobe Bryant on the court? And if we do see him next year, is he the player he is now, or do you think he'll diminish a great deal with this type of injury?
That's an interesting question. He has had a great long career. I don't think he'll want to go out with an injury. I think he'll try to make a comeback. It is a very serious injury, but
yes.
with the rehabilitation process that they put some of these athletes on, he could come back and still play well. I think it could be diminished both through the injury and the wear and tear he's taken over such a long career at
right.
this stage.
16
but
years
I do
the
think
league.
We'll
yeah.
see him again.
I believe we'll see him again. My personal opinion, and you know, I'm biased because he's my favorite player, at age 34, with so many rings that he has now, I believe it may be four or five, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain another two, three more years at this pace in the league. I think we may have seen the best of Kobe Bryant this year, and I don't know if we'll see him get another scoring title and such in the next coming years. I really don't. Well, I hope that he does. But as a really bad injury, as you just stated, and he's getting up there in age, 34.
Right, and you have so many top young players
right.
now as far as the scoring with Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony.
LeBron James, right.
You're LeBron
yeah.
James, and I mean, with the long season, it's so demanding on all the players. So he, you know, it's still a lot of competition out there. I like to see him. He's actually a local fellow here. He came from Lower Merion High School here in Pennsylvania.
That is right.
I didn't see him play in high school, but he's obviously been covered a lot around here. His father was a former Philadelphia 76er, Joe Jellybean Bryant. Kobe's been a far better player overall as a pro.
Yes.
And he'll always be remembered as a Laker, but those of us who have been around here our lifetime remember him as a high school star at Lower Merion and a Pennsylvania native who took his talents to the West Coast.
Absolutely, absolutely. Moving on, during this past NBA playoff season, we've also had the opportunity to see some other high-powered games. Miami has swept Milwaukee.
Yes, that was an 88-77 final with LeBron James and company. Really dominated that series. They even won Sunday's game with one of their star guards, Dwayne Wade, sitting out.
That's right.
It just shows the depth they have. LeBron James is pretty much unstoppable the way he's playing now. They have Chris Bosh as the other member of the Big Three, and then their supporting cast is so good as well. Rashard Lewis, Mario Chalmers, Chris Anderson, the Birdman.
Yep.
He comes in around the boards, very effective in his duty. Shane Battier, Ray Allen, of course, coming over from Boston as a three-point shooter. They just come at you and come at you, Norris Cole defensively. And they're going to be tough to beat. I could very well see them repeating. I know New York people, you want to see your Knicks.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're making a run. Now, Boston stayed alive there with a 97-90 victory
in overtime
to make it 3-1. But
yeah, and
I still think the Knicks are going to come out of that series. But Paul Pierce had a big game for Boston there, 29 points. Jeff Green, 26. Jason Terry, 18. But the veterans there decided to give it one last shot, and they came up successful to avoid the sweep there.
Yes, but as many people feel like yourself here, the Knicks should definitely be able to wrap this up. I think their next game is Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, and they'll be able to wrap this up and put it away and move on to it. Perhaps could very well be Indiana. Yes, is that right?
Yeah, that's the Indiana-Atlanta series, and Miami comes out of Chicago Bulls or Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
With the next round. Also, last night I watched the Golden State game against Denver, West Coast, kind of a late game. Golden State wound up winning that one 115-101. They have a 3-1 lead in that series. That's up and down, up-tempo. Stephon Curry for Golden State. Coach Mark Jackson has done a good job there, moving down from the TV booth to take over the Warriors.
That's right.
And they have David Lee, one of their top players, is out, but they're still playing well. They're guard-oriented. Getting some nice play inside, though, from center Andrew Bogut, the former Milwaukee Buck player, seems to have found a home there. He had some big plays at both ends of the court despite being in foul trouble. So there has been a lot of interest in good games in these NBA playoffs, which there usually are.
Yes.
Especially with the different matchups, as we spoke about previously.
Absolutely. And I also have to mention that a lot of great play with a lot of new young talent. I mean, when you watch that Golden State team run up and down the court with those fresh legs, you're impressed with those young men and know that, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to see, you're looking at some future stars.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with you there. There's a future and upside on a lot of these teams.
Yes. Of course, we have that OKC series that's taking place. They're 3 up over Houston. This could be the end of the Houston's run, it would appear to me.
Yes, there again, Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook's out for the playoffs, but Kevin Durant stepping up as a star
right.
should, and Ibaka, and they still have plenty of weapons in their arsenal. They won the first game 120-91 over Houston, then 105-102, 104, 101 on
right.
Saturday, and they can close it out tonight in a 9:30 game at Houston. The Rockets have had a nice year, James Harden coming over, but they just don't quite have enough to match up with a team like the Thunder, who want to get back to the finals and maybe go all the way this year, although it's going to be tough. That Chicago-Brooklyn series has been interesting.
Yes,
Chicago's up 3-1. Brooklyn took the first game 106-89, but Chicago has come back with three straight victories, 90-82, 79-76, and in a real shootout Saturday, it was 142-134 in triple overtime with Nate Robinson having a
wow.
big game.
Yes, it had
so we'll see. Chicago can close that out at Brooklyn tonight at 7. We'll see if they do. But the Nets, who have had a good year too, may hang in yet and extend that series.
In my opinion, that's the one to be watching tonight. I think that's going to turn out to be a great game between Brooklyn and Chicago. And I have to say, you know, for Brooklyn fans and or New York fans in general, particularly Brooklyn fans, what a great treat that is to see them make it, you know, to the first round, a brand new inquiry, just move it to a brand new arena and bring it to Brooklyn and Nets from New Jersey. You got to make a lot of fans very happy to see their team in the playoffs.
Yeah, in that area, again, with you having two relatively close teams there with
yeah.
the Knicks and Brooklyn. You have a lot of fine basketball that you've been able to watch all winter between the two sides, whichever one you like better, or if you're just a pure basketball fan who likes East Coast basketball, to watch both of them succeed this year, whereas those of us here in Philadelphia have had a tough year. The 76ers did not even make the playoffs.
Right.
With the Andrew Bynum saga, he didn't even play at all. It was pretty much negative here in Philadelphia, whereas it's been a lot of positive there in New York, New Jersey area.
And Barry,
Brooklyn now.
there's a slim chance, I'll say a small chance, that, you know, the cards fall in the right way, that you could see the Knicks versus the Nets later on in the conference semifinals. There's a, the playoffs in the Eastern Conference Finals, pardon me. If, for instance, New York was to beat Indiana and the Nets were to beat Miami, it could happen. Small chance, but it could happen.
Yeah, and that would be even more interesting for you fans over the other, over that area. The one series we didn't touch on
was
L.A. Clippers and Memphis Grizzlies, and that's a good one, too. It's 2-2, so that's the most even so far. The Clippers took the first two, 112-91 and 93-91, and Memphis took the next two, 94-82 and 104-83, with the next game Tuesday in L.A. at 10:30. So the Clippers took that division, but Memphis is a tough team, and there again it's matchups, and home court advantage seems to be prevailing in that series thus far. Moving on to the NFL draft, tackle Eric Fisher from Central Michigan was the first pick overall in the draft that started Thursday night and extended through Saturday through the seven rounds.
Yes.
He went to the Kansas City Chiefs, which are coached by Andy Reid, the former Philadelphia Eagles coach. It came down to either Fisher or Luke Jokel, the tackle from Texas A&M. The Chiefs decided to go with Fisher. Jokel went number two to Jacksonville. Number three was Deion Jordan, the defensive end linebacker from Oregon, and he went to Miami. So the Eagles at number four under new head coach Chip Kelly from Oregon took offensive tackle Lane Johnson from Oklahoma. They had thought about Jordan, but when he wasn't there, they went with the offensive line. They had so many needs after finishing 4-12 last year. So I think they filled a need there, try to give some extra protection to whoever the quarterback is, Michael Vick or whoever else emerges there. They gave up a lot of sacks, and even on their completions, they were hit a lot. So they need stability in that offensive line. They had a lot of injuries last year. So Johnson should solidify the one-sided tackle. Hopefully they'll get Jason Peters back, a Pro Bowler on the left side who missed last year, and that would give them two bookends to pass and run behind, but we'll see. And in the second round, the Eagles took Kyle Ertz, a tight end from Stanford, to give them double tight end there with Brent Celek, with the innovative offense that Chip Kelly runs. He can run a double tight end, both in passing and running sets. Another good pick for him. And then on down the line, fourth round, they took quarterback Matt Barkley from University of Southern California. We may see him down the road. I don't know about this year yet, but we did expect the Eagles to take a quarterback, and they did, because Michael Vick's getting up in years, even if they do decide to go with him. He's missed a lot of time with injuries and does take a beating.
That's right.
So they're going to need a long-range quarterback there.
And they're in a position, it's fair to say, they're in a rebuilding phase, right? Is that right?
Right. The rest of the division is really strong with the Redskins, with Robert Griffin, the New York Giants, of course, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So they have three they have to climb over, and this probably will be a rebuilding year, but they have to start somewhere. There's a lot of optimism here with a new coach, new regime, new system.
Yes.
And we'll see how the Eagles fare. Were there any interesting picks? I watched it, but some of the other names and where they went don't come offhand that you were really happy about over there with New York, the Jets or the Giants?
No, it didn't. And I think that's kind of the overall theme for this year's draft, Barry, was that there was no standout player. And if they were, they were on the offensive, the defensive side of the ball. And so because of that, it just seemed to lack a little bit of a draw for me, the draft this year.
I see. Yeah, that's true. It wasn't considered a real player-dominated draft. Now, you see with a couple top picks being offensive tackles, that
yes.
There weren't the skilled people that some year come out. Last year was Andrew Luck and Griffin, a franchise-type quarterback. So
yes.
You're right. It was a different type of draft. A lot of good players, but not players that we'll definitely see racking up big statistics as offensive quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, as you see in some
previous years
drafts
yeah.
With people at those positions. You're right.
Though, for New York fans, I'm sure they were aware that the Giants did pick a quarterback, a fourth-round quarterback in the draft this past weekend. So that right there, to keep them, you know, shored up in the quarterback position. Obviously, Eli Manning's a star in his own right, but you never know, and you've got to have a good, you know, secondary plan.
Yes, and quarterback being the type of position it is, you can go down on any play. You need depth there.
You're right.
I mean, he's showed stability and longevity, and I hope for his sake he keeps it up, and I'm for all Giants fans.
Of course.
But do you like to have a good two and sometimes even need three in a long season with whoever goes down, and you have to have players available. That's what makes the draft so valuable. You can use it for depth, for building up an array of prospects to use as trades, or for use down the road, and it's to build up the weaker teams have a chance to get back in the mix if they make good, strong personnel decisions. They can move from a losing team into a winning team in a short period of time.
You're absolutely right about this. It's a great point you make, and that's kind of the whole hope for all fans, and the reason that they watch the draft is such a big deal to them, because one season your team could be in down and out, and with the right picks, your season could turn around for the next year, and you guys can really be back making a lot of noise. And it's also one of the reasons that they kind of jab at the Jets so bad, because over the past few years, they passed up some really key players who turned out to be, you know, really, really, really phenomenal, and the Jets have passed them up.
Oh, we've had that here, too. That's where your personnel departments come in, the general manager, the scouting.
Yes.
That's what they get paid to do, and it's a chance you take on these drafts. But really, you have to hit, especially when you have a high pick. That player has to be an impact, because you never know when you're going to get back and have that high a pick again, and you need that impact player. And somebody that you can count on for years and years. We've seen it, especially in the NBA, a player like Duncan, who's been around so long, Kevin Bryant, Kevin Garnett.
Came
out of high school. Yeah, and so that's basketball. But even football, it's the same type of deal.
Right.
Obviously, you need more players between offense, defense, and special teams. And so you have to be right on even a large number of cases. A one player like a Duncan turned that whole franchise around. You need more than that in football, but you still, your stronger franchises seem to be able to do the right type of drafting.
Right.
Good organizations, San Francisco 49ers for years. I mean, back in the Joe Montana years, Jerry Rice, and now currently they were back in the Super Bowl again with Colin Kaepernick and this new bunch this year. That shows that they do their homework, and year after year they make good, solid picks. And, of course, the Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champions, they didn't stand pat. They made a lot of moves, a lot of people leaving, Ray Lewis and company. They're going to be interesting to see what they do with a lot of new faces. It's never easy to repeat, but especially it won't be for them with a lot of new people in their lineup, both especially on defense, but some offensive people as well.
Right, and they're in a tough division. We're running out of time here, Barry. Let's give out some good information for our listeners so they can get in contact with you and read your column there at the Phoenixville newspaper. Talk to us a little bit about how they can find out more about you, Barry.
Okay, my personal website is BarrySankey.com. The Phoenix newspaper website is www.phoenixvillenews.com. And my email is bsankey@phoenixvillenews.com.
Wonderful. Barry, thank you so much for being on the program. For our listeners, tune in each and every Monday morning at 10 o'clock where Barry joins us to run down the sports for us. It's an honor to always have you on the show. A lot of good information for our listeners and a ton of fun. Thank you so much, Barry, for joining me today.
You're welcome. I always enjoy it as well, Marcus.
To our listeners, I'd like to let you know you've been listening to Spotlight Radio with my special guest, Barry Sankey. The archive of this show, as well as others, are on our website, spotlightradio.com. I'm Marcus Edwards, thanking everyone for joining me today and wishing you all the very best.